Our reading this evening is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7. Now, when the Pharisees gathered to Jesus with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of Jesus' disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you handed down. And many such things you do." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, is it better to be traditional or contemporary? Is it better to be conservative or progressive? And before you answer, I want you to always know that when you have those words put together, you simply don't have enough information to answer the question. What are you being traditional with, right? Or what are you progressing to? What are you trying to conserve? Or what are you trying to be contemporary with? So if you just had this text and you asked this question, is it better to be traditional? You would have to almost reactively say that being traditional is a bad thing. Did you hear how Jesus spoke? But you notice that every single time that the word tradition pops up, it has something attached to it. Did you catch it? Jesus will say, "You hold to the tradition of men," right? Or the tradition of the elders, right? The tradition of men, the tradition of elders. Or Jesus will say, "You make null and void the word of God to hold to whose tradition? Your tradition." Right? But we Lutherans have a tradition of baptizing our babies. Good tradition or bad tradition?
Good.
Why? You got it. Because, oh, beautiful. Because it has the promise attached to it. So Jesus will say here at the end, verse 13, thus you make void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And so the picture that I want you to have of tradition or of being conservative, of progressive, of things like this, is this picture of things being handed down. It goes from one generation to the next generation to the next generation to the next generation. And what Miss Flora said hits the nail on the head, that we baptize our babies. We have the tradition of baptizing our babies because it went from Jesus to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. Do you see? You always have to ask the question, what is the source? What is the starting point? Right? So we baptize our babies because Jesus is the source. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take the things of Jesus in one generation, and you're supposed to pack it on to the next generation. That's a traditional sort of thing. But what's the source? So what was the source of some of these hand washings too? And just, you know, so we kind of get a picture too, because we are a very hygiene-oriented culture, and we all know that we are supposed to wash our hands really, really well. This is not what this is about, right? So this is not about cleansing themselves so that they're clean before a meal, that they wash the germs off. Germs are a word that probably, I think, only that we even aware of maybe until the late 1800s or early 1900s, something like that too. And the way that they washed anyway was they took one fist and another fist and they would do this sort of thing. What good would that do, right? If you get ready. So this is not about hygiene. This is not about washing the germs away. This is about a ceremonial cleanliness too. So what is Jesus's point here? Jesus is saying, you pass on this tradition. Where was the original source that Jesus is criticizing them for? Was it from God or was it from man? It was from man. So they pass it on. And in fact, when you're passing on things of man, there could be good things. But what's happened here? The things that they're passing on from man has replaced the things of God. So just kind of another FYI too, because this was a really confusing text for me for the longest time, because I didn't know what Jesus was getting at in verse 9 through 11. You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father and mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given by God. You're no longer permitted to do anything for his father or mother. What was happening is, say, Mr. Perry and Mrs. Perry are my father and my mother. I have the commandment from God to honor them and to provide for them. That as they get older, I'm going to help them. I'm going to give them a place to stay. I'm going to give them food to eat. I'm going to provide income for them. And that there would be a group that would take all their income and they would set it aside and said, I'm giving it to the church, so I can't give it to them. Now, what do you think they took that set aside that they said they were giving it to the church? They didn't actually give it to the synagogue. They didn't actually give it to the church. So that's what's happening here. They're saying, this is Corban. I'm going to give it to God. I don't have to honor my father and mother because I'm taking my stuff and I'm giving it to God, and therefore I don't have to give it to them. When in fact they were just using it as an excuse not to what? Honor their father and their mother. So Jesus kind of knows the inside stuff that's happening here. So let's consider some other things here too. Some of our fellow Christians have the tradition of waiting till a child chooses to be baptized or not. Good tradition, bad tradition? Yeah, yeah. What's the source? You know, go therefore and baptize all nations. This promise is for you and for your children. If you're not a Christian and then the baby and then the child does grow up and becomes a Christian and then chooses to want to be baptized, God be praised for that too. Or if you don't become a Christian until you are an adult and you choose for that, then God be praised for that too. But the source, once again, we go back to the scriptures, all nations, this promise is for you and for your children. Some of our Christian friends have the tradition of speaking in tongues. And then we went to a step further too, condemning those who don't, saying that you are not a Christian unless you speak in tongues. Some of them have that tradition. Good tradition or bad tradition? Bad tradition. That's right. That's right. And that's what we spoke about that this morning in a Bible study, you know, that there are spiritual gifts that are given to everyone. You know, so Paul's talk about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit gives those to all. But there might be some special gifts that aren't given to everyone too. How about the Lutheran tradition of teaching the catechism? Teaching the catechism.
Good.
Yeah. Why?
That's our foundation.
And what's the foundation? That's right. It's centered around, you know, so the first is the Ten Commandments. Where's that come from? That comes from God. God himself gave the Ten Commandments. Second one, the Apostles' Creed. God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What reveals God as the creator of everything? The Bible, right? Jesus Christ is his only Son, our Lord, you know, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Where do we get that from? The Bible, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church. Where's the church promised in? It's in the Bible. Third thing is the Lord's Prayer. Where's that come from? God. So remember, we're passing it on, but what was the ultimate source? God himself is. Fourth chief part, baptism. Who's the source of that? Jesus is. Fifth chief part, the forgiveness of sins, the absolution. What's the source of that? Jesus. Sixth chief part, the sacrament of the altar, the Holy Communion. What's the source of that? Jesus. Goes back to the source. So you have this idea of things being handed on, and you're either handing on the things of men or you're handing on the things of God. Which one will disappoint you?
Me.
Right.
Traditional me.
It will. And then, of course, though, you have traditions in your family, in your life, that do bring you joy, right? That are not specifically of God. They are of man. Are they good? Are they bad? Some are really good. And some can get bad too. So I gave you this evening some words to meditate on. Jeremiah 15. Where Jeremiah will say to the Lord, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Why do I give you that? Jeremiah has a beautiful picture, right? It's a beautiful picture of the word being in front of him. And what does he do? He eats it up. And he rejoices it. You have this picture of this great feast or your favorite meal or your QT milkshake. I love QT milkshakes, right? There it is, and you rejoice in it. And that's what Jeremiah says God's word is too. And how does this impact passing it on? You yourself inwardly digest it, rejoice in it, and then you hand it over, pass it on. 1 Timothy chapter 4, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so, this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And so I gave you that in comparison to what Jesus calls the doctrine of men. But what does this passage say? Take heed to yourself and to
the doctrine.
What's the doctrine? You got it. You got it. God's Word, the foundation. Summary found, Apostles' Creed, Ten Commandments, Lord's Prayer. What you could do if you could go home, you could go home and make that a capital T, the doctrine, the teaching, too. So the final thing is from our psalm, if you want to flip your pages back over. Psalm 26, verse 8 begins this way. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. The devil comes, and maybe the first temptation will be to not go to where God dwells. Not to pray, not to say your prayers, not to read your Bible, not to go to church, not to receive the Lord's body and blood. That would be the first temptation, but the second temptation that he comes is when you do go to church and when you do read your Bible and when you do say your prayers, you don't love it. Does that make sense? And this is what Jesus is encountering. Jesus is encountering what we would say outwardly very pious people. They go to church, you know, and they try and do the right thing, but what's happened with them in God's Word? They don't love God's Word. They've replaced God's Word with their own traditions. So for the Christian, it's always to always be willing to be corrected. Your pastor is always willing to be corrected. You told me that this morning, right? And I'm glad I've communicated that, and I'm glad you're comfortable with that, that if there's anything that I ever say that is a traditional of man sort of thing, that you come to me with God's Word and correct me. To always be willing to be wrong, always be willing to be corrected, because we love God's Word. Anything else stick out or you have questions on this Mark chapter 7 reading?
Verse 7, where it says, teach it as doctrines the commandments of men.
Yeah.
Is that talking about the teaching their own document?
That's right. Yeah.
That they made up or something?
They're teaching their own thing, but they're not just teaching their own thing. They're saying, this thing that I'm teaching you is, in fact, from God. And that's especially why Jesus is so hard on them. Yeah. You know, if they were just making suggestions, you should wash your hands before dinner or something like that, or maybe it's a good thing to wash your hands before dinner, you know, things like that. But what they were saying is, this is God's Word that you wash before dinner. How can your disciples not wash before eating? God's Word says you wash before eating, when in fact it actually doesn't say that. They were adding a ceremony. They were adding a tradition. Anything else?
So didn't you say that when they wash, they close their hands up?
Yeah. Right. It is crazy for us to think of that too. It's hard for us to go in 2018 and go back 2,000 years. Yeah.
Because that way, you know, it's just in God's Word. He right. said, if you close it, there's nothing that can get in there. None of, you know, His words and nothing.
Oh, that is an interesting picture, yeah.
And then if you open them, but to me, if they was doing a ceremony washing, you know, hands with their hands closed like this, to me, they're washing God out. They're not, you know, putting him in there, that's just a traditional thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
But all the dirt is still staying on the inside. It's still, when you open it up, you still get the dirt.
There,
that is a just washed your knuckles.
That is an interesting picture. And then Jesus will say, you know, you are You are whitewashed tombs, you know, to one Pharisee. So you look really, really great on the outside, but what you're on in the inside is a tomb, a place of death and sin. Yeah, that's a fun picture, Miss Flora. Anything else? I'll make one final point, just kind of a side note here. Verse 4, when they come from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they wash, and they do many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. Do you see that word washing? In the Greek, that word is baptizo, baptinzein, you know, where we get baptism from. And so some of our friends will say, you aren't baptized unless you are immersed. But this is the word baptizo, and it is talking about cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. Do you think that they took the dining couches down to the river and put the whole dining couch into the river to wash it and then pick it back up? No. What did they do? You know, maybe, you know, they probably immersed the cup. They probably immersed the pot. When it came to the dining couch, you just rub it off too. So does the word baptizo or the word baptism necessarily mean immersion? It doesn't. Yeah. So you get that kind of in and makes sense too. So just it's a fun little FYI sort of thing for you. Well, let's rise for those that are able, and let's pray.
Lord, have mercy. Rise, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with your spirit. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, defend your church from all false teaching and error, that your faithful people may confess you to be the only true God, and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the traditions that we have received that have you as its source. We thank you for those that have had God's word and God's promises and the things that bring comfort and joy and life and peace and salvation that were handed on to them and that they then handed it on to us. And we ask that you help us all to repent as individuals and as a church. For when we hold to the traditions of man and make null and void the promises and commandments of God, grant us all faith in your word, that we might always rejoice in this, in confidence that we have been passed on life and salvation and have been taught to pray that you call upon you in every day of trouble and you will answer us. We now commend ourselves and now name with hearts and voices the ones that have needs and the ones that have thanksgiving.
Amen.
and for all things, for the whole church of God, in Christ Jesus, and all people according to their needs, we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.